this morning. I hope that you have been paying attention to this week, all the good things the Lord has done. I was thinking about the power of a testimony. There's a verse in Mark chapter 5. You're welcome to turn there. You know the story about the man who was delivered from a legion of demons. I will summarize the story, and the point I want to make from the story is Jesus' instruction to him after he was healed. Here is a guy, the Bible tells us, who was demon-possessed. But he wasn't just housing one demon. He was like a demon condo. There was a group of demons, and his life was ruined. I couldn't imagine what that would be like. The Bible says that he actually lived in the tombs, these caves with dead body. And he would scrape himself and cut himself. They tried to chain him up because he was so violent. But he had this supernatural strength where he would gnash himself and wound himself. He'd break the chains, and nobody could go by there because he would terrorize them, running out from the caves. He was without any dignity whatsoever. He was naked, screaming, gnashing his body, destroying his life. Just the kind of thing that the devil wants to do in every person's life if he has the chance to take their dignity, to live a life of death, to be violent, to be angry, to be isolated, to be lonely. But here comes Jesus. And Jesus sails across the Sea of Galilee. He lands on the shore there, and this man comes storming out of the caves, probably to terrorize just another passerby. And lo and behold, it's the Son of God. The demon recognizes and falls down, and Jesus confronts that demon. And then he casts the demons out, and that man is saved. The Bible says at the end of this scenario, he's sitting there at peace. He's clothed. He has his dignity. And he's in his right mind. He has his sanity. The work of Jesus for anybody whose life is available to him. But then the man, he wants to go with Jesus. He says, I just want to be with you. I mean, could you imagine being at the bottom of a heap of demons, looking up at your consciousness, wondering if you'll ever have control of your life again? And then you hear the voice of the Son of God, and he sets you free. And this man, like every one of us, when you're touched by the Lord, all you want to do is follow him. All you want to do is be with him. And yet, Jesus doesn't allow him to go with him. He sends him a different direction. In Mark chapter 5, verse 19, after the man begs Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to be with you. Look what Jesus says in Mark 5, 19. Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And it says there in verse 20, he departed. He began to proclaim in Decapolis. Those are a group of cities, all that Jesus had done for him. And they all marveled. And so Jesus instructs this man to go and give his testimony. Just tell people what I did for you. And he went. And so the power of a testimony. You think about a testimony. Now, you can have different ways of somebody giving their testimony. Traditionally, we think of it as a person telling their life story, where they came from, what they did, and how many years they served in prison, or what kind of criminal they were, or how horrible they were, and then they got saved. Those are encouraging testimonies. A testimony also where somebody just says, I was raised in the church, and I've always known the Lord, and he's always been faithful to me, and here I am today walking with him. That's a testimony. That's powerful. But this morning, I want to invite you to share the current testimony. How has the Lord worked in your life recently? What has he spoken to you? What has he shown you? You think of the power of a testimony. There are some things that we would never, ever, ever, ever do in life unless somebody told us it was okay. Can you think of something that you would never, ever do unless somebody told you, no, I did it and it's great? How about laser eye surgery? Think about that. They're going to tell you in the hospital that, hey, we're going to take a laser beam and we're going to cut your eyeball open and then scrape off some of the cornea and then it'll be fine. Nobody would ever, ever do that unless somebody said, oh, I had this surgery and it worked. The same day I could see my clock clearly when I woke up in the morning. And so people go in and they get it done. How about skydiving? Whoever thought of jumping out of an airplane with a bag, you know, to catch the air? Nobody would ever do that unless you had that crazy friend that said, oh, you got to try it. It's the best thing in the world. How about foods that we eat that people should never eat? Caviar? Smell that. And oh, but you're going to have some person, oh, you got to try it. It's the best. Natto. You know what natto is, right? It's fermented soybeans. It looks like snot beans. And people say, oh, no, you got to eat it. Antioxidants. It's great. And that's all because of the power of a testimony, because a testimony is when you observe something and you've experienced it and you just tell others about it. And the great thing about testifying about what the Lord has done in your life is Well, first of all, nobody can argue with it. You can't argue with experience. If God showed you something in the Word, others are encouraged by that. If God has stood by you through a trial or sustained you through a sickness, that is encouraging. That's amazing. And here this man is sent off to give his testimony, and he didn't have a long testimony. It was just, you know, I got saved. And when I think about the way that God works through testimonies, testimonies do a number of things. They honor God, they encourage others, and they defeat the devil. They honor God, they encourage others, and they defeat the devil. I think about a testimony of God's faithfulness. They honor God because they're sort of a public praise song, really. You know, when we sing praise songs, you just, sometimes they're to the Lord and you say, Lord, you touched my life. But sometimes they're just declarations. God is good. God is faithful. Now that can be sung to the Lord or that can be sung to you. That can be sung horizontally back and forth when you just say, God has been faithful. It's just a recognition of his goodness, telling other people the good things that God has done. You think of the Bible, so much of it is simply testimony, recorded testimony of people whose lives God touched, and they declared it. They proclaimed it. They wrote it down. Think of the Psalms. The Psalms is all about God's faithfulness, all about God's goodness. And it's not all just thanks to God. Some of it's confession of weakness. Some of it's difficulty and trial, and yet the Lord standing firm through all of it. Psalm 22:22 says, I will tell of your name in the midst of the congregation. And that's what we do when we gather. We declare the goodness of the Lord. Think about the testimonies in the Old Testament of Ruth, who came back to the Lord and God proved himself faithful. Or Hannah, who never felt blessed by the Lord and persecuted by those around her, but then was strengthened. Or Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist, when she declared, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord is mighty and has done great things for me. When you testify of God's goodness, it honors the Lord. It honors him, and he is pleased by it. It's praise to his name. But testimonies also encourage other people. They remind us that God's at work. You know, sometimes we forget that God's actually working because we only see our own experience and our own lives. But we need to remember that we're not alone in our faith. And when we hear that God's working or blessing another person's life, we get this shot of thrill and excitement because our faith is kindled. We remember, yeah, God is working. God is good. A while back, a friend of mine was telling me how he got saved. He had a rough childhood, a broken home, an abusive stepfather. And as he told the story, he talked about how God just intervened and saved him. And saved his family and just worked in a mighty way. I could hardly hold back the tears because of God's goodness. Why would God love us so much? We see testimonies throughout the Bible. In the Gospels, for example, this man who was possessed by demons, but the book of John has a number as well. The woman at the well. Jesus asked this woman for water. And you know the story from John chapter 4. And after he revealed to her that he knew all about her life, hardly, barely, a believer, she runs back into the city and she says, hey, come see this man who told me everything I did. Could it be the Christ? Now, she was kind of a loose woman, so some of the men wanted to go out and find out if Jesus was talking about them too, maybe. But she became a witness, a testimony. And the town was saved because of that witness. Or later on in John chapter 9, when Jesus healed a blind man, he didn't even know who Jesus was, and being confronted and challenged because the Pharisees didn't believe in him. They said, are you sure that, you know, he's the Savior or the Christ? And this guy goes, I don't even know who he is. But one thing I know is that I was blind and now I see. That's a testimony. That's all I can testify is of my experience. Sometimes we're worried to share our faith because we don't know all the answers. But nobody can argue with your experience. God touched my life. He opened my eyes. He gave me understanding. He forgave my sin. In fact, in the book of John, it says, this is the testimony that we have, that God has forgiven our sins and that there's life in Jesus. Or you go on a little more and there's Lazarus there in John chapter 12. He was dead, but now he's alive. The Bible says that people were coming just to have a look at him. Something happened in this guy's life. That's a testimony. There's hardly anything more encouraging than hearing how the Lord is working in somebody's life. But there's also power in a testimony in that it defeats the devil. There's a passage over in Revelation chapter 12 where Satan is finally cast out of heaven. And he's called the accuser because constantly he's accusing and trying to place blame and guilt upon believers. And the Bible says he's a deceiver and he's our enemy. And then it says that God cast him out of heaven, and those that were persecuted by him, it says there in Revelation 12, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I think that when we declare something that God has done, it gives it a reality and a substance that that lasts. When you declare good things that God has done, it confirms and solidifies that work in your life. It makes it permanent. It adds catalyst to that work that God's doing, and it hardens and strengthens so that you might build on top of that. The Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. That is, when you observe something and confirm it. And that's why Peter tells us to always be prepared to give people an answer for the hope that lies within you. And when you declare that hope, when you talk about and speak out what the Lord is doing, it honors him and it encourages others and it gives strength and victory over the devil. I think of the Apostle Paul, who in the book of Acts, three times, have you ever noticed that? Three times it records the events of his testimony. How in Acts chapter 9, he's confronted by Jesus. And the whole thing is recorded there. But then later, Luke goes on as he writes the book of Acts to record how Paul repeated his testimony in Acts chapter 22 when he was before the nation of Israel. And it gives all the details. It doesn't summarize and put a little appendix there. See chapter 9 for the testimony of Paul. No, it lays it all out. And then four chapters later in Acts chapter 26, it does the whole thing again. Now, why would the Holy Spirit include that except that the testimony is very valuable? In fact, Paul would write to the Galatians his testimony in Galatians 1. And then in Philippians, he would write about his past and how he got saved. The Apostle Paul shares his testimony that often. How much more should we? And the wonderful thing about a testimony is it's easy. It's not preaching a sermon. It's just reporting what you've experienced. How has God blessed you? What has he done for you? It doesn't have to be long or eloquent, just straightforward. And this morning, we want to open up for testimonies, and I hope that you'll be able to participate and come on up maybe one side of the stage and just tell what the Lord has done. It's not necessarily how you got saved or your life story, but what has God shown you in the past few weeks as we've sought the Lord? How has he been faithful? What has he done through this time? And we could call it, as I mentioned, popcorn testimony. About a half a minute or a minute or so, just to show or tell how the Lord spoke to you or how he worked in your life. Did you get a promotion? Is your business booming? Or did you lose your job, but you still have the Lord's peace? Is he sustaining you through sickness? Did he break an addiction in your life? Has he touched you in those areas of emotional pain? Or has he healed wounds in your heart? Did he answer any prayers? Did he speak to you his word, especially this week, where he revealed something about himself? Did he save somebody that you've been praying for? Give you boldness, maybe at work, to share your faith? Is he strengthening you through any kind of trial or difficulty? How has he been good? Come and share it. Tell of the great things that the Lord has done. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you up, and we'll just take some time to hear what God's doing in your lives. Father, thank you that you are working. Thank you for the power of testimony. That you call us and tell us, Lord, even as this demoniac, you healed him, and then he just wanted to be with you, but you sent him off to share his faith, to tell what good things you have done. And Lord, we pray this morning that we would be encouraged and that we'd be strengthened as we hear the good things that you've been doing in our lives. Amen.